complaining about first world problems.
You're not getting the point, kid.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you here on a Reaction Monday edition of the program, reacting to the two NFL championship games and doing so now with our good buddy Matt Bertram joins us. NFL for Fan Sided on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Man, Matt, let's just start with your impressions of what you saw in the NFC and what you saw in the AFC, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I think, look, overall, I saw an NFC game where the Packers, I mean, they realistically had every chance in the world to win that game, even though they, I thought, mismanaged it awfully. I'm really on both sides of the ball, defensively right before the half. I don't get why you play single high safety there. And then, you know, in the end of the game, you know, I thought, you know, they had a couple chances down 5 points. Brady throws some picks. They can't even get a first down. I think that's the story of that game. Yes, the Bucs played well, but really it was the Packers' ineptitude, both on the sideline and on the field, that cost them the game. And then the AFC, look, I think that one's more simple. That, to me, was just a full-on tour de force by Kansas City. That was, we're better than you. We're going to show you that we're better than you. Mahomes was otherworldly in the game. They couldn't stop Kelce. They couldn't stop Hill. And the Chiefs' defense, which doesn't get a lot of publicity, played very, very well in that game. Second time they shut down Josh Allen this year. That sets up Super Bowl 55.
Matt, when you see what Tom Brady did, and he wasn't perfect yesterday, but when you see what he did, pandemic, no offseason, new teammates, new system, all of that, yet leading the Bucs through Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers to his 10th Super Bowl, just what comes into your mind when you hear 10 Super Bowl appearances by one quarterback?
I mean, I think it's fairly safe to say, maybe almost very safe to say, that we'll never see this again. I don't know that you'll ever see someone in the NFL with the parity that it has ever do this. I think a lot of people always like, yeah, okay, look, as great as he is, he's in the AFC East, all these other teams are terrible, he got Belichick. He goes to a division where the Saints are a really, really good team, and they don't even win the division, and then he goes into the playoffs. Okay, yeah, Washington, fair enough, they should win that game, to go to Superdome and win, go to Lambeau and win. It's been incredibly impressive. Even if they don't win the Super Bowl, to me it enhances his legacy. Obviously, if they win it, he beats Mahomes at 43 years old. That would just be, you know, the proverbial cherry on top.
You know, Matt, it's also interesting. You mentioned the lost opportunities for the Packers, but also lost opportunities for their front office from last offseason. You think about what the Bucs did with the drafting of Wirfs and Winfield, acquisitions of Gronk and Brown. Of course, I don't know if that probably doesn't happen without Brady, but he was, and they were able to do that. In addition to adding Tom Brady, meantime, I look at the Packers, and I think about that draft does not give you a starter. And what good was Jordan Love on Sunday? You went 13-3 and played in the NFC Championship game a year ago. You went through a draft. You didn't get anybody who could help you in the games that matter most. And I understand Aaron Rodgers' frustration.
Yeah, no, for sure. Look, I killed the Packers all offseason for that draft. And then, hey, they made me my work. On 13-3, they were one seed. They rolled all the way to the NFC title game. But the further you get in the playoffs, if you have a big weakness, it's going to get exposed. Now, maybe that weakness is lesser than the team you're playing, and you can survive it, but it's going to get exposed. And I thought in this game, look, I didn't even think the weapons were an issue. It turned out they couldn't cover anybody. And Alexander, while he's a great corner, is one guy. The Packers in that game were relying on Chance and Sullivan, and they were relying on Kevin King to shut down Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. And if he had played, it would have been Antonio Brown. It was a nightmare. The Packers were not able to do what they had to do. And you look back at that draft, and there were some guys that could have really helped in the first, second round at those spots. As it turns out, they didn't do it. You have to think that this offseason, they would be much more aggressive, but it's going to be hard. They've got some cap situations. It's not going to be easy for them to sign guys in free agency. They're probably going to lose a couple of pretty key players. It's a long road ahead to get back to where they were. They had everything lined up this year, and they couldn't finish the deal.
Matt, I'm wondering, what's your early sense with this game? I know these two played earlier this year, and you can't always look back. There's some things that can be true when you look back, but just what do you expect when you think of Mahomes trying to go back-to-back, Brady trying to get a seventh ring. So many just under the radar storylines, right? When you're talking about the old guard and the new guard, I saw Collinsworth. You mentioned the 10 Super Bowl appearances. Collinsworth thinks that Mahomes will have 11. So you have all these, you know, underlying storylines. You have Steve Spagnuolo going up against Tom Brady, right? That scheme versus Brady, and he's gotten him before in the Super Bowl. What's your favorite storyline, and what's your early kind of gut towards this thing that's a little under 2 weeks away?
Mine is actually the last one you mentioned. I like Spagnuolo and Brady because obviously he was the coordinator that in 07 derailed that perfect season. And Spagnuolo through the years has given Brady problems. He's always found ways to screw with him. Now he's always had good personnel and he has it again in Kansas City. They've got guys who can win up front. They have a very underrated secondary. As far as my gut, I think the Chiefs are significantly better. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think the Chiefs will win by 10 points, something like that. They're just better. The path for Tampa is, with Eric Fisher now probably out, clearly hurt, doesn't sound like his Achilles is in good shape, they're going to be able to get pressure, and they're going to bring it. The problem for Tampa is, I think that's about the only real path to stopping the Chiefs, and Andy Reid has 2 weeks to prepare for that. He knows it. And so I just believe, with 2 weeks, Andy's just going to figure it out. They're going to scheme it up. They're going to get Mahomes out on the roll. They're going to do different things. They'll quick hit. They'll chip with a back. They'll chip with a tight end. And if the Bucs can't get home, I don't think their coverage can hold up. They're not equipped. They're not a fast secondary. The Chiefs just destroyed them the first time they saw them. I don't have any reason to think it's much different this time.
Man, big picture NFL offseason stuff. The news Sunday of Matthew Stafford. You heard the words from Rodgers postgame. We know Deshaun Watson's story is out there. And we've seen this in the NBA, the player empowerment movement, and LeBron James ushered that in the NBA, I think probably to the overall detriment of the league. We always felt we were immune to this in the NFL, but if there was ever a position to do it, it would be this one. These guys all have a lot of money. This isn't like somebody, you know, all right, fine, we're not going to pay you. Look, these guys are fine. Is this the start of it? Are we going to have player empowerment with quarterbacks in the NFL, and do you think all these guys will move?
You know, I think you might have a little bit more of it. It is different in the NFL in the sense that, you know, 53 guys, if LeBron goes somewhere, that team's immediately the favorite. Now, obviously, a guy like Watson can really tip the balance, you know, depending upon where he goes, but I think it's harder in the NFL to kind of make that power play. I do think, yes, if there's any position in the league, obviously it's quarterback. With Stafford, that's not a surprise. I remember being at the Combine last year in Indianapolis back in early March, and people around the league were talking about, yeah, this is probably going to be it for him in Detroit. I mean, so this doesn't come as a shock. I think the Detroit are ready to kind of blow this thing up and rebuild it and get some picks. But I do think, look, with Watson, you know, I've talked to people. I spent a good couple of days this past week talking to people around the league, and there's a real sentiment, which has been out there, but I mean, just even reiterated to me that, yeah, look, this is every bit what you hear. I mean, Watson's fed up. He's tired of it. A lot of people in the organization and around the organization look at Easterby and just think it's a blight on the organization that they brought him in, that he's running the show, that he has no football chops. So it's bad. And I could definitely see the Texans getting their hand forced here.
Matt, I where do you see Matt Stafford? And again, we got a while probably to discuss it, but I'm just wondering, what when you look at the teams who are quarterback needy, heck, there might be some teams who have a guy, and that's the one fascinating thing about the National Football League, right, is that you're not only comparing against the guys on your roster, but across the league that come available. There might be a team out there that has a guy that says, nope, I don't like my guy as much as Matt Stafford. Let's figure out a way. Just what teams, give me a couple that you think are the favorites for him.
Indianapolis has got to be the favorite. Indianapolis is a good team. It's a team that has the second most cap space in the NFL. So they can not only go out and get him, but they can build around him offensively. And it's clear as day they need a quarterback. Brissett's a free agent. Rivers retired. So I think they're number one. The Pats are right there. Belichick's turning 69 years old in April. He's not going to wait forever. And if you're New England, if you can get Stafford, and they have a bunch of cap space too. Like, if you get Stafford, go out, sign a receiver, maybe get a tight end, your business. And then the other team I look at is San Francisco. But they were willing to move off Garoppolo a year ago, right after the Super Bowl. So if they were willing to do it then, why not now? Stafford, if he's healthy, makes them a Super Bowl contender again. I think those are three teams. And then I throw Washington and Denver in there as two other teams to keep an eye on.
Matt, good stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate your time on a Monday.
Hey, no problem. Thanks.
All right, that's my bet. Matt Verderam covers the NFL for FanSided, joins us frequently on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Yeah, just get him to the NFC. That's it. It's a logjam,
right?
In the AFC.
I mean, gosh, there's a ton of talent in the AFC.
Get him to the NFC.